This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Once again, I am correct. Tom Brady kind of left the door open for coming back.
You don't say, did he?
Here he was on his podcast with his best buddy, Jim Gray.
You know, I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, you never say never. You know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decisions. You know how it feels 6 months from now?
If you're already contemplating returning, then why did you retire in the first place? The whole idea is you retire, and then after a couple of years, you know what, I really miss it. I was lost in training camp. I felt like I was missing a limb. I had to go back. If, like, 5 minutes after you retire, you're already thinking about coming back, then you weren't all in on retiring.
The Michael K. Show.
You think you're bigger than Anthrax?
No, I'm not.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show. Another splendid outing so far. We're halfway through. We'll go till 7. At that time, an hour and a half edition of Carlin. So looking forward to that. NBA trade deadline is approaching. It's 4 p.m. on Thursday. 3 p.m. So 3 p.m. right when we get on the air, we'll know exactly if anybody made any deals. And they set that up for our show. Could have been 4 p.m., but they said, let's make it 3 p.m. So, you know, the guys come on with fresh content. Thank you to the NBA. Well, we have some fresh content today. As the Kings and the Pacers made a deal involving six players, the main players, Domantas Sabonis, goes from Indiana to Sacramento. And from Sacramento to Indiana is guard Tyrese Halliburton. The Pacers, also including Jeremy Lamb and Justin Holiday, and a 2027 second-round pick in exchange for Halliburton, guard Buddy Hield, and center Tristan Thompson. And that also affects the Kardashians, so that's also upsetting in itself. So the general reaction is shock. I guess people in the NBA cognoscente love them some Tyrese Halliburton. They certainly love him more than the Knicks did, because the 2020 draft, the Kings took him with the 12th overall pick. The Knicks took Obi Toppin with the 8th pick. And everybody was saying the Knicks should take Halliburton, the Knicks should take Halliburton. And it seems like a lot of people in the NBA didn't know that Halliburton was available. They thought that De'Aaron Fox was available. They're electing to stay with Fox, which is interesting. So did they give up enough for Halliburton? Now, I guess I'm more of a fan of Sabonis, and I think Peter is kind of in agreement with me.
I am.
Than most people say. Well, let's break it down. Here is Brian Windhorst on Barton Hahn, and he was asked how the Pacers got Halliburton for Sabonis.
All it cost Domantas Sabonis, a two-time All-Star, under a reasonable contract that actually just got better. Unless the Knicks were offering R.J. Barrett, Sabonis was better than anything the Knicks could offer.
And that includes Randall?
Yeah, I don't think that's in debate. Domantas Sabonis is more highly regarded than Randall. Randall plays a position that's more in demand. Teams are looking for combo forwards. It's one of the reasons why a lot of teams have interest in Jeremy Grant if the Pistons were to make a move with him. It's hard to find players like that. Grant is more of a defensive player. Randall is more of an offensive player, obviously. They're different. But because he's a wing player, I think he's in, you know, maybe more demand than a big. But empirically, Sabonis is more valuable than Randall.
Well, there you have it. And what I was saying and why I said that I thought that Alan Hahn, who said if that's all it took to get Halliburton, I'm paraphrasing him, then why weren't the Knicks in on it? And I'm saying the only way the Knicks get him is with R.J. Barrett. And would you make that deal? I mean, Julius Randle is much older than Sabonis. Sabonis is 25 years old, has a much higher contract than Sabonis. And Sabonis, I think, is a pretty good player at that price and at that age. Well, let's bring in Alan Hahn. You could hear him every day from noon to 3 right before our show with Bart Scott, Barton Hahn. And he joins us now. Alan, do you think the Knicks would be able to get this guy?
I would think that you would do as much due diligence as you could to find out if somebody like this is available. And most of the league, according to Woj, didn't know he was even going to be available. So once you learn that, you kind of just are frustrated with the fact that a rival of yours added a player that you're going to have to deal with for the next decade, a player you wanted in the draft or part of your scouting staff wanted in the draft but didn't take. And not only do they have Halliburton, but now they have Chris Duarte, who is also somebody you wanted in the draft, and that's their backcourt.
Right.
And so all this is, to me, is just a continuation of, a perpetuation of the same problem that you've had, which is everyone else seems to get the critical piece, the playmaker, and a young one too at 21, a high IQ playmaker who's not only averages 7 assists a game, but he's a high percentage shooter. He's a, you know, again, a smart big guard that is where the league is now and where it's going. And you don't have anything like this. And so to see a rival get up to a team that's below you, by the way, in the standings, to see them make moves that can add pieces that will help them become a better team while your team doesn't, what I was saying on my show is it's excruciatingly frustrating for a Knicks fans who are sitting there just waiting for your team to get that piece that you have missed for. This is the Cleveland Browns. This is Chicago Bears and quarterbacks, point guards with the Knicks. And until they get one, when people ask, oh, you know, they're never going to get a star. Okay, well, they're never going to get a star. They don't draft well. They've screwed up the draft. 3 of the 4 years, they were in the top 10. They have one starter out of those 4 picks. 2 of them aren't even on the team anymore. So how do you continually set a franchise back doing stuff like this while your rivals make moves that make them better? Well, and that's the basis of my frustration. It has nothing to do with value versus value, because you can always put a deal together that might not be person for person the same, but it still could be more enticing than what the Pacers gave up to get a very young, talented player.
But you'd have to admit, Alan, the only way that you can put together a deal that's more enticing than that.
No, I don't have to admit that RJ Barrett be part of it. I do not.
Well, okay,
no, I don't.
Put together a
I have
deal
a
that
ton
would be
of
better
draft
than Sabonis.
Picks that I'm sitting on. Just tons and tons of
draft. But you have to
draft.
Make the money work, too.
You can make the money work. There's always ways. Again, I'm going back to this. Woj said it earlier today on ESPN that around the league, many teams were like, wait, Halliburton was available? So I back off the idea that the Knicks were sleeping at the wheel. Apparently, most of the league also didn't know about this. So that's what I'm saying. So there was never a deal to be made, apparently. But it's frustrating to watch it happen while your team still can't get that piece that you need.
Could it
this
be
is,
something
this is the Yankees not having this? A center fielder. This is the Jets not finding a quarterback. This is all the same stuff that goes on when you – and I, you know, it's always like Alan, you know, the fan perspective. And no, it's not. It's Alan knows too damn much. And so he sees this, and I do talk to fans, and I care about what they think because it's frustrating for them. And I how do I explain to them why this happens?
But could it be
how
as simple
you?
As this, Alan? They don't like the guy. They took a surplus guy in Obi Toppin when they could have taken Tyrese Haliburton.
I know.
And they didn't. Maybe they don't like him.
No, I know they liked him. I know there was a debate about who to take at 8, and Obi was the guy they went with. And I don't want to turn this into Obi hate because I love the kid. I love the kid. He's a great kid. It's a nice story from New York. And they didn't know what Randall was going to be when they drafted him. They had no idea. So it just sucks. But I'm allowed to be frustrated with a move that a rival made. The Pacers are a rival. The Heat are like the Miami Heat. What have they done other than just create a culture and find players who fit that culture? Jimmy Butler is a star, but he's not a mega star, but he fits
no,
your culture.
He fits exactly right for them.
And look at the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, they get the pick at number 2, but they hire a coach that nobody ever heard of, and all this guy does was set a new culture there. And they get players who fit that culture, and look at that team right now. And so I'm asking that question. If you can't attract stars for whatever reason people want to come up with, and you aren't, like, set a culture and get players who fit that culture. When you look at this roster, what's the culture?
There is no.
Exactly.
So where and that's my frustration. What do you do now? Is there any other deal they can make coming up before Thursday that can make the situation better?
Well, the two names that were most connected – actually, there was 3, and one was C.J. McCollum. He went to the Pelicans.
Right.
And, you know, he's not really a great defender. He's 30. It's a big contract. So, you don't flip out about something like that. It's a risky, aggressive move for the Pelicans. But it's not something that you feel like, wow, really missed out on that. De'Aaron Fox was a name because Sacramento clearly was looking to shake some things up with their team. But once you trade Halliburton, you've pretty much said, all right, we're committed to De'Aaron Fox. So he's not going anywhere. So the last name among names that we've heard of is Jalen Brunson, who's a starter with Dallas, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Dallas doesn't really want to deal him, but they kind of feel like he's probably going to, you know, he probably wants to go somewhere else for a bigger role because under Luka, you're off the ball. And he's an on-the-ball point guard. And so that's the other name that you're trying to figure out, can they work a deal? But if you're Dallas and you look at the Knicks knowing there's no other options and you need a player like this, you know they're going to hold them, you know, they're going to hold them hostage to get squeeze everything they can out of them if they're in a place of desperation at the deadline.
Here's my biggest concern with the Knicks, and you're inside, you do the pre- and post-game on MSG. It seems like there's a little bit of a disconnect between the coach and the front office. There's no way the coach wanted Kemba Walker. There's just no way. And he wanted Bullock back, and they didn't bring him back. And then they make a trade for Cam Reddish. And I know that they didn't trade a rotation piece, but you would think that they're falling out of it. They'd want to see what this guy is because they have to make a decision on him by the end of the year. Are they both together, the front office and the coach?
I mean, I don't think this is, you know, where they were in Chicago, you know, when Tibbs was in Chicago and they were really having it out by the fourth year. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're at that level. But, you know, all the things that you point out all make sense. From the offseason forward, it's kind of been, how's this going to work? How's this going to work? You know, that's really what it's been. And, you know, the common denominator, of course, has been what I just said. It's your identity. And did you get players who fit what the coach is looking for? Now, they drafted that. He loves Quentin Grimes because Quentin Grimes is everything that he wants in a player. It's just a durable, hardworking, aggressive, defensive-minded, tough kid who's, you know, just wants to get, you know, get after it at both ends of the floor, can shoot the three. So he loves that kid, right? And then you bring in a Reddish who's really not that. I've always said this. They had four tires. They needed a steering wheel. They got another tire. Right. You know, like that's how I looked at – and I, again, it's not a knock on Reddish. It's just the fit was a little awkward. But then it made me think, at the time, all right, they make this trade, so they clearly have another move coming. And so Reddish kind of will slide into whatever they were doing on the bench because they need a wing because they're probably going to end up moving a wing. And yet we haven't seen that happen. That's the frustration. So is there a disconnect or is it more of do they have to get themselves on the same page again when they do reset this thing in the offseason? I think it's the latter. I think they've got to sit down and have it out and just ask what do they want to be as an identity? What do they want to be? And let's build that instead of letting this thing fracture.
And can that identity come from this head coach?
Well, it is. It's similar. How about this? It's similar to what I've said this about these teams. So the Giants and the Knicks, when they've had success, it's been based on a foundation of defense. And this coach is one of the best in the game at that. Is he a great offensive mind? No. Does he have a hard time sometimes he sticks with the same players? All I mean, no coach is perfect, right? But what he is the best coach you've had since Mike Woodson. He really is. I mean, you're never out-coached. He's always got his team organized, prepared. I mean, it's a miracle. I know they're now six games under, but what they've gone through this year, considering Randall and everything, how he's played, it really is a miracle sometimes to see that they were actually hovering around 500 for most of the season. And yet, you have to also know that you're going to be what he is, which is a hardworking, grinded-out defensive team. That's what he sees that New York wants and people that can get behind a team like that because unless you have stars that can just carry you, like the Nets have stars, and so identity doesn't matter. You just put out three best players and you're going to beat most opponents. But the Knicks don't have that, so they have to be a grinding kind of team, and he's that kind of coach. You just got to get the players that fit his style. If you don't want to be that, then he's not the coach for you.
Alan Hahn is the ultimate NBA insider. You could hear him from 12 to 3 right here on 98.7 with Bart Scott. So leading up to the trade deadline, it's a must listen now. Let me just shift over to the other team that you spoke about. If you were the Nets, would you trade Harden in a Simmons deal?
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't waste any time.
Because he doesn't want to come back, obviously.
Right. You're going to lose him. You could tell. I mean, we've seen his act before when he's done with a place like Houston. He's made it pretty clear, you know, and I just feel like how much can I get from the Sixers right now before this deadline that because they're that desperate to get him now. They want to win now while Embiid is playing the way he's playing. Because, you know, you wait till the offseason and maybe Embiid, you know, gets hurt next year. You know, then what? So you've got to strike while the iron's hot. And if you're the Nets, you've got to play with exactly what they're playing. This is like, actually, Windhorst said this when we were talking. He said, whatever you're hearing right now publicly between both sides, especially on the Nets side, is all negotiation. He doesn't feel like it, because I said, I think it's a fait accompli, they'll get him in the summer. He says, no, there's still a chance that it'll happen before the deadline. And I kind of feel like that. If I'm the Nets, squeeze everything you can get, not just Ben Simmons. Give me Maxey. Why do you need Tyrese Maxey? He's a good, talented young player. You don't need him if you have Harden. Give me him. You really want him? Give me that kid. Like, that's what you do if you're the Nets, to still try to wait to salvage moving on from a guy that you're going to have to pay excess of $50 million a year when he gets his contract extension.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
What do you think's wrong with Randall? Why is he so angry? Who's he angry at? Is he angry at the fans? Is he angry at himself? Is he angry at the media? What's the deal? He's a different guy.
Yeah, I think he's frustrated with everything. I think there's a part of him that's playing guilty. There's a little part of him that knows that whatever he did in the offseason the year before that got him ready for what was just a fantastic year by him, I think something wasn't the same. Because he didn't show up with the same motor that he had the year ago. He just didn't play to that level. And when people say you're being too tough on him, like New Yorkers are just being too negative, I said, well, he set a standard of play that makes you feel like, all right, now we know you're best, stay at that level. I didn't know that was going to be your apex, but really your median is what you've been the first year you were here and now this year. So, I think that's I think he's got a little bit of that hanging over him, which can certainly get frustrating. And, of course, all the criticism, which seems to really bother him. Like, he doesn't want to hear it. And, that's a major concern for a guy that's got a four-year extension kicking in next year.
It's such a fall from grace, isn't it? I mean, you've been around New York sports a long time. Can you think of somebody who was an established player, has that kind of year, gets the contract? And listen, he's still a good player, but he's not anything that we thought he was last year. Like Michael asked me, what's wrong with him? Well, the question was, what was wrong yet last year? Because last year looked like that was the aberration.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because last year was such a cool thing. We love those stories, don't we? The guy that puts in the work and just reaches that level and really becomes the star. And you're like, wow, what a great story that is. And instead, it was the aberration. Donnie, I was going to ask you this because I've asked a lot of people this. When they say, well, how's it going to work out with Randall? It'll be fine. It'll work out. All he's got to do is this and that. And my response is, tell me the time in New York where a you know, relatively well-known star athlete, turned on the fans the way he did, soured with the media the way he has, performed poorly, and then, you know, got it all back and it was all forgiven. Right. I can't think of anybody.
No.
It usually ends really badly.
No, it does.
It's really hard to picture it, too. I mean, usually it's like it's one group that's offended. It's either the fan base or the media or teammates. He's in a rough spot where, like, the media is down on him, but, like, the entire fan base that was chanting MVP is down on him.
You know who's not down on him? His coach.
Really?
Now, why is it being reported that there's a rift there?
There is no rift between Tibbs. I mean, here's the guy who made him. The idea that they're at odds would have the only thing it would have to do with is what's happening on the court. You know what I mean? This is a coach who has stuck by him from the beginning, when things even early in the season weren't going well. The coach never wavered in his support of him, ever. Didn't cut his time, didn't bench him, never called him out publicly, right? Always covered for him. So if the player is now have his feathers ruffled over some internal criticism, it's exposing even more about the player. Because that coach is the one guy in this entire city who never wavered in his support of you.
You know, I know you've been battling a little bit, and your voice is starting to sound like Dibs, you know, like Barry White-ish.
It was rough today. Today was supposed to be Bart, like you did yesterday, just carry the whole show. And then, of course, these trades went down, and it just became, you know.
How you feeling?
I'll be honest. You know, everybody says, oh, you know, 1 or 2 days, and, you know, it goes through and you'll be fine. This has been a miserable experience. I'm on day 6, and it still feels like I swallowed a bag of concrete.
And you were vaccinated?
Yeah.
Boosted?
No.
Oh. Wow.
Didn't get there. Working
scary.
Too much.
Yeah. That, a lot of
it
happened.
But it
to
finally caught
people.
Me. You know, yeah. Like I went this long, never had it, never tested positive, none of that stuff. And I just felt like, you know, all right, I can get through this. And you know, I'm big on vitamins and supplements and staying in shape and all that. And, you know, this is, I can't say it enough. It sucks. I don't wish it on anybody. And anybody who's been through it or going through it right now, you have my empathy and my sympathy, and just
How long has it been unpleasant for?
6 days. The first day was the worst. No, I had it. The first day was the absolute worst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just couldn't get out of bed, couldn't move, sweats, all that. It's you know, tapered off, but it just comes now. It comes and goes in waves. Like I'll do my show, I'll jack up on matcha tea and everything else I can get to really get me fired up. And then when the show's over, I legit just crawl into bed and sleep for another hour. Wow. And that's the frustration. It's like you feel useless because, you know, I'm a very energetic person. I don't like sitting around. And this is all I can do is sit around and not feel any energy. And it's the most frustrating thing for me to experience. I hate it. And you know, like I said, I don't wish on anybody. I really don't. Other people have had symptoms that are a lot more severe, of course, but it's the best way I can describe it. It's if you took a bag, like a, you know, the 10-pound bag of concrete, swallowed all that powder and then drank water, that's how my lungs feel. And that's how they felt these last couple of days.
Mm. Well, we hope you feel all right, man. Hope you
get better, buddy.
Yeah, feel better.
Thanks, guys.
Get better,
Thanks so much. Yep. That's Alan Hahn. You could hear him from 12 to 3, so he's still working.
Yeah.
I give him credit for that, but you could hear it in his voice. So 6 days, it's been rough. So what did he miss, like one day last week when he first got it, that first day, and now he's been working. So give him credit. So he was vaccinated, but he wasn't boosted. 1-800-919-3776. You heard what we've been talking about with the Halliburton trade. The Knicks were not in on it. But if the Knicks were in on De'Aaron Fox, which was reported, wouldn't they have asked about Halliburton? Well,
you
I mean,
think so.
Don't you just ask? What about Halliburton? You thinking about him?
I don't know. Is that does it work that way?
Yeah, people ask
about everybody.
I've talked to like GMs. I've talked to Cashman about this. You do your due diligence on everybody,
right,
even if you don't think that anybody is going to be dealt. You ask because you don't want to be caught asleep at the wheel.
No, but you also don't want it out there that they didn't like anything on your roster.
Right.
because that might have been what it, yeah, I'm sure they asked, and it was like, no, sorry, there's nothing you have that we want.
Did you see what was just tweeted out, Donald?
What's that?
Frank Bello, big thanks to Don LaGreca for the shout-out for my book.
Yeah!
Wow.
And then he followed me. Now I got to read the book.
Guess he didn't hear what you said.
Well, I didn't say anything bad. Peter, did I say anything bad?
No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't. I wouldn't go as far as saying bad. That would be strong.
Dismissive.
Oh, and then Don answers back. My pleasure. Loving the book.
Well, okay, now that's not fair. What is the right thing here?
Don't say my pleasure. Say, real good book.
Why can't I say my pleasure?
Because it comes out, my pleasure.
No, it comes out because that's the way you chose to make it seem like it came out.
My pleasure. That,
he's thanking
so
me
weird.
For bringing the book up, Peter. I said, my pleasure, enjoying the book.
I got to tell you something. This is a thing Michael does that of everything he does that's annoying, this is the top. Like the made-up perceived butt-kissing thing. Well, remember the thing a little while ago when, oh, yeah, Michael asked who Ryan Clark would want on his podcast. Ryan said me, and Michael accused me of kissing his butt.
Right.
Like, he can't take any of us getting any love out there from anyone important in the world.
I don't want anybody on the show getting more shine than me. You're absolutely right. You nailed me.
You know, as my mom once said, you are the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. You need to have it all.
I love that. That's a great line.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Take a brief time out. I don't like when I get insulted right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.